there and welcome to Mortgage Introducer Talk. I'm Simon Meadows and I'm very pleased today to be joined by Jess Rushton, who is Head of Business Development at Smart Money People. Welcome, Jess. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you along. Well, let's start by finding out a bit more about Smart Money People and your role there.
Okay, so Smart Money People is the UK's most comprehensive review site that specialises just in financial services. So we've been going for about 10 years now. We've got about 1.5 million reviews on the site and counting. So we use that data from the customer reviews to help both customers and companies use customer hindsight to create better foresight. So the idea is that we can learn from mistakes and successes of the past and create a better future. We collect customer reviews in a number of ways. So that can be that a customer's had a really bad experience and wants to go and shout at the internet about it, but also that they've seen a leaderboard or they've seen an advertisement from a broker or a lender that they use and they want to go and talk about their experience. We also have businesses that invite their customers to leave reviews, and we have 3 award ceremonies every year where customers can vote for their best lender or broker. And that's across insurance, consumer credit and banking. We also run the mortgage lender benchmark twice a year. That might be more pertinent to the sort of people listening to this. So that's a twice yearly report where we ask brokers to give feedback on the last 5 lenders they've tried to place a case with. And generally that covers themes such as criteria, underwriting, online systems, how quickly they can get an offer out, and then things like BDMs and communication. So we cover both consumers and intermediaries in terms of lender feedback. And now we find a lot of our lenders actually use our service to collect broker feedback all year round. So they're very keen to understand what brokers want on a month-to-month basis. And also that's helping them fit other requirements, such as looking after customers that might be struggling and finding out if brokers and lenders are meeting their sort of consumer duty requirements as well. And my role as head of development, business development, I've been here since 2021 when there was only 5 people in the business. And now we've grown to 21 people in the business. But my team specifically look after the companies that collect data from their customers and use that insight to sort of make decisions.
Excellent stuff. Now, obviously, this is a fairly new kind of initiative within the industry. There didn't used to be review sites such as this in bygone days. Unless you tell me otherwise, I don't believe there were such things. Why do you think it's so important for the mortgage industry today to have this kind of way of assessing how its main players are performing?
I think one thing that's really important now is that, you know, customers can really see the choice that's out there. So I think maybe in the past people went with names that they're familiar with, but I think there's so many different lenders out there and different types of lending. I think people really need to, in terms of customers, they really want to find somewhere where they can see that other customers have had an experience. So it's all well and good with the 4 high street banks, you know, people have generally heard of them. But if they have got a friend or even if their mortgage broker recommends a lender they've not heard of, I think it's really useful for them to have somewhere to go to see, you know, that they're a genuine lender and that people have had good experiences. And then I think from a lending perspective, I think because the market's got so competitive, they are so interested in benchmarking themselves against their peers and seeing what they can do better. We also have some lenders that use our reports to make decisions on things like online systems and software. So I often get a call from, say, a building society or a specialist lender saying, right, we need to change systems. What information have you got on this company or the lenders that are used by this company that we can use in our decision-making process? So I think people are just becoming more used to having that data at their fingertips rather than going with the status quo like they might have done in the past.
Now, we're always curious, you could say nosy, to find out about people's career paths and how they got into the industry. What was your journey?
So I actually started off working for a boutique insolvency firm in Leeds, just in marketing. Very quickly realised that I wasn't really one for sitting behind a desk, and you can probably tell from this conversation, like talking quite a lot. So moved into their business development team there. And after 4 years, I moved into the sort of growth equity space. So I worked for a company called BGF, who at the time, I think still are one of the most active growth investors in the world. And during the 4 years there, I just had a really good experience meeting loads of really exciting businesses that were doing lots of interesting things, growing really fast. But my job was kind of to find them, interact with them, read the financials, introduce them to investors, and then move on. And I felt after a couple of years, you know, it'd be really cool if I could work for one of these businesses. And then I met Smart Money People and I met Jacqueline, and that's exactly what we're doing. You know, we're growing really fast. We've got great sort of backers, and we're doing some real good in the market as well. So yeah, the rest was history. Joined in December 2021, on the same day as our head of data and analytics. And needless to say, at the time, Smart Money People very much was looking after the building society sector. We look after about half of them with their customer reviews, and then running the three awards programs, whereas now we're doing all these different things. And yeah, it's been really exciting.
What would you say is it that you gel with in the industry? What do you particularly find exciting about it? And what is it about your personal skills, do you think, which make you such a good fit with the industry?
I think what I gel with is when we get to work with businesses that really, really care what their customers think. And although they are our sort of biggest sort of customers, I think the building societies do that really, really well. When Consumer Duty came out, building societies all got themselves so in a tiz because they were like, right, I was involved in about 10 different task force about how we're going to listen to our customers and how we're going to make sure that we're hitting these Consumer Duty outcomes and evidencing them properly. And I think the reason they did that and the reason they cared so much is they actually really want good outcomes for their customers. And I will be completely honest, there are parts of the financial services sector that aren't as bothered. They maybe want to get the award or they want the nice flash page with a score of 4.8 out of 5. But I think where I get really excited is where people really dig into their feedback and they really ask the right questions. And like I say, we do have this product now where people are going out with hidden surveys to the customers that historically businesses didn't want to hear from. They didn't want to hear from the disgruntled customers. They didn't want to hear from the customers that were maybe defaulting on payments. They just wanted, you know, to brush them under the carpet. Whereas I think now, due to some of the changes that we've said, there are some businesses out there that are like, actually, no, let's get to the crux of this situation, listen to them and make improvements. And we have found that, you know, the businesses that do that are really succeeding. And so I think that's the thing that I really enjoy. I like getting stuck in with customers, I like spending time with them. You know, that transactional piece that I maybe mentioned when I was at BGF, that wasn't what I wanted to do. We've got a great relationship with both the building societies and some of the other lenders that we work with. And they really see us as part of their team. And that's the part I really enjoy.
Now, you were recently named as one of Mortgage Institute's Elite Women 2024. How did that feel and how important do you think it is to champion women in the industry?
I was quite surprised, actually. It was the first time I'd ever been nominated for anything like that. So it was quite a nice surprise when I was told about it. I'm very lucky that I've always had strong women in the jobs that I've had. Although what I will say is this is the first role where I've ever had a female CEO, and it's been a predominantly female management team. And I must say there are differences, particularly back when I was in insolvency, which wasn't that long ago. You know, it was very male dominated. It was very much an old boys club. The only way that you really won business was to stay out drinking until, you know, the early hours of the morning. But I think as more women have taken up leadership roles, I think that maybe old boys club mentality is changing slightly. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure there'll be a few people having a late night at the British Bank Awards in May. But I think that mentality of, you know, you get there's a network of very specific people in an industry from a very young age that all stick together. I think now, maybe because of women and maybe just because of a general diversity, I think the financial services sector is more open to different points of view, to different ways of working, to different ways of building relationships with people. And I think it's all the better for it. I think that's where I think on it.
Now, obviously, you get a good overview of what's going on in the industry. What's your take on the market currently? It's been a tricky few years, whichever way you look at it. Do you think things are getting more positive out there? Do you think there are the green shoots of recovery?
Yeah, I think I was chatting to some of my colleagues about this, and we're sort of using the word sort of cautious optimism. I think one thing that we found through the research that we've done and the conversations that we've had is that actually quite a lot of the mortgage lenders have weathered the storm pretty well. That being said, I do remember being at an event in September 2022 where the BDMs were on the phone to the product team saying, I've just been told by a broker that the interest rates have changed and I haven't. So I think we're all thankful those times are over. But I think, yeah, hopefully interest rates have begun to stabilise, maybe even drop slightly, you know, maybe moving towards sub 4% rates in 2024 for some loans with sort of lower loan to value. I mean, what we're finding in the market that brokers really, really do appreciate that enable themselves to keep up with these dynamic sort of offerings and all the changes that have happened is that sort of customer-focused approach, that flexibility in lending criteria, but also being able to have really experienced, high-quality, good BDMs in the market. That was a key theme that came out in last year's mortgage lender benchmark that, yes, the market's starting to stabilise a little bit now, but the thing that has managed to get brokers through it and therefore get lenders through it is these strong BDMs that stay in contact, that sort of have that accountability and help brokers manage their customers' expectations as things are changing. I think it's fair to say we might not see 2022 again, but there's definitely going to probably be some, you know, market changes this year with general election and various things going on in the world. So I think, yeah, in terms of the market, I'm positively cautiously optimistic, but yeah, I think we're reliant upon, you know, lenders being strong and communicating well with brokers in order to have the good outcomes for the sort of end borrower.
I don't know how much direct contact you have with brokers day to day, but what in your view makes a good broker?
I think a broker that's willing to get to know the customer. I think a broker that's willing to personalise things and spend the time, depending which part of the market the broker's looking at. You know, some people might need a lot more hand-holding. I think when you're a first-time buyer, for sure, you know, this might be the first time you've ever needed to reach out for professional advice. And, you know, my brother's just going through that experience at the moment, and he's luckily had a really good finance broker. But suddenly you met with this person that comes with lots and lots of fees and lots of paperwork, and you might not be able to understand it. So I think a good broker is really understanding and really takes time to understand the needs of the person and their financial situation. Another conversation that I have had with brokers in the past actually as well is around the education piece before people do apply. So, you know, people applying for far too many decisions in principles or having about 50 million buy now, pay later accounts. I think one thing that brokers could maybe do a little bit better is that pre-education piece. Now, whether that's, you know, through getting out there on social media, through information, newsletters, or even, dare I say it, through TikTok and that sort of thing, because I think that market is trying to take the space of advisors. Yeah, I think a good broker is also willing to sort of take on that technology and help educate people on new products. And I suppose that's not just on the first-time buyer side as well. You know, there are more and more people going into that later life space now in comparison to previously. So again, it's how do you sort of educate people, you know, there are lots of different reasons you might want equity release or later life lending that you might not have thought about in the past. So yeah, I think a good broker is someone that's willing to sort of take the time and educate at the same time.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Having said to you before we start recording, I wouldn't ask you any trick questions. something just occurred to me. Which side of the fence would you want to be on? If you had to pick a spot, would you rather be a lender or a broker? Or can you not say that?
I think, well, I can say from someone that lives with a commercial finance broker, so I've got a slight insight, I probably would rather be a broker. And the reason for that is, I think you've got more options, you know, when you're a lender, you've got your criteria that you can work with, no matter how flexible that criteria may be. But I think with a broker, if you're well connected actually you've got theoretically an opportunity to help everybody. So probably a broker. I'm not very good at saying no. So a broker is a better space for me than a lender, I think.
Fantastic. You are still at a relatively early stage in your career, but from your experience so far, what would you say is the most important business lesson that you've learned? Something that you perhaps could share with the mortgage introducer community?
I think surrounding yourself with people that you can learn from is really important. And that can be someone senior to you, for sure. I've had some great managers. And as I said, I worked with CEOs and chairmen from some absolutely stonking businesses when I was at BGF. But surrounding yourself from people with different points of view to you, you know, there are certainly people out there, even in the business development community, that have got a very different style to myself. I think having that open-mindedness to listen to other people's opinions and allow that to form how you see the world and how you see the job and how you can grow. I mean, one thing at Smart Money people that gets absolutely banned out of any meeting is, yeah, but it's easier to just keep doing it that way. And you can't do things differently if you're not listening to different people, I don't think.
And how much of a workaholic are you? Do you work all hours, or are you, you know, is it a job that's sort of 9 to 5? How many hours a day are you working, or is it more than brokers and journalists?
probably not. We've got a model that's completely remote at Smart Money People, so we're very fortunate that creates complete flexibility, really. So don't get me wrong, probably do more hours than most. You know, there's never enough hours in the day, but I do try and get out for a run or on my bike or something at lunchtime if it's nice and sunny. And that's a benefit. I live right in the centre of Yorkshire, actually. So, you know, getting out in the countryside at lunchtime means that those slightly later nights don't feel as bad.
Is that your favourite way to get away from financial services industry, or do you take holidays and other things like that? Or is it just really a run that would do it for you?
On a day-to-day basis, certainly, sort of just getting out, because I work from home, just leaving the house really helps. But no, I'm not a big holiday person, which is a bit strange. I don't go on for these big 2-week fancy holidays, but I love going out for a fancy dinner, and me and my partner love spending our time sort of travelling the UK and Europe, to be fair, like looking at cool craft beer places and vineyards and like I say, on the search for nice food. So I've never been one to sit in the sun for two weeks, but going and trying new places, but to eat and drink is definitely my sort of way of relaxing and sort of, you know, make it enjoying the sort of career I've had.
Sounds perfect. Well, it's been fantastic talking to you, Jess. Thank you very, very much for your time. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I have. Thank you for having me.
That's it for this edition of Mortgage Introducer Talk. Do join us again next time for more industry insight. In the meantime, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Thank you for tuning into MI Talk. You can listen to the latest episodes on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and all major listening channels. Just search for MI Talk.